Namaste. So we just shared something about the hostile forces. Having said that, it's important to understand the mind should not start thinking about them. This is the other part. So the rational mind has this advantage because it's not thinking of the divine. At the same time, it's not thinking of the hostile forces. So Shubhendu cautions us, by too much thinking about them also they come into the atmosphere. They can come in several ways into our atmosphere. We should know their entry point. We spoke about the inner entry point, then there are some outer entry points. So every human being carries their own atmosphere. Places have their atmosphere. So try to avoid those things where, you know, even sympathizing with somebody who has gone wrong, we spoke about that. But the safest way is to think about the divine. Wherever one is, that's the way of Prahlad and Mother speaks about it. They cannot come near if we are constantly in contact with the divine presence, or at least we are calling the divine mother. So here are some letters of Sri Aurobindo which we'll just read. In fact, Sri Aurobindo says that there are a great number of men who are partly or entirely under their influence of the hostiles. Some are possessed by them. Others are incarnations of hostile beings like Hitler and Stalin. They were incarnations. At the present moment, they are very active all over the earth. Of course, in the outside world, there is no consciousness such as is developed in yoga by which they can either become aware of or consciously repel the attacks. Outside world, you say, I don't know, life is cool. What do you say? You say it's all imagination because it's a way of life. But it's only, people don't realize, then they go through all this pain, tumbling ups, downs, this is part of life. So, then there is another letter. The purpose the hostile forces serve in the world is to give a full chance to the possibilities of the inconscience and ignorance. For this world was meant to be a working out of these possibilities with the supramental harmonization as its eventual outcome. So even these things, which are we call as, you know, darkest fallen things, even they have some truth inside. So they tell you, if you have left something and you are going up, they say, wait. You have ignored your heart. Oh my God. Heart has to come into play, yes. Then you realize that, you know, you are going alone happily on the path and suddenly, this example I'm giving, or you are going through the heart but you have ignored the head, or you have used the heart and head and you are having some beautiful experiences but you missed out on the will, your will is very weak. So suddenly this is, look, will. So at one point, they will make sure that you have no choice but to exercise it. So that way everything, even the body, every aspect of the physical existence. So all this has to be raised up. That's why they are. And Sri Aurobindo reminds us, lest we forget, the life, the work developing here in the ashram has to deal with the world problem and had therefore to meet, it could not avoid the conflict with the working of the hostile powers in the human being. How they used to attack people here. Remember Dilip Kumar Roy? Go away, you are not fit. Even yogis of a stature like Krishna Prem ultimately went away, and Sri Aurobindo has gone to an extent of saying, we do not allow, Sri Aurobindo would never do that. No, myself and the mother have no intention of sanctioning that you go away. We think we have a right over you. And yet he went away. And how that episode, you know, Indra Devi came into his life. Even that Sri Aurobindo did not say anything. He helped Indra Devi and even made her feel that, you know, she can treat him as a guru. That kind of thing. But at one point of time, he asked Krishna Prem. There is a whole correspondence. He says, what difference does it make? You know, that God is one. So, you know, some people turn to Divine Mother as mother. So for you, she is mother. And he went away. Wept miserably later on. He realized that he has done a great mistake. So there are people we have seen, even in the ashram context, go away from the ashram. What is the need of going to samadhi? God is inside, he's everywhere. Yeah, they act like that. God is inside. Why you want to bow at the samadhi? So Shobhindra and the mother, they didn't have this wisdom, and therefore they created samadhi. The logic, if you really apply logic, then they shouldn't have created it. They should have said, look, we are putting it just because somewhere we have to do something. But don't come here. On the contrary, all that mother and Shobhindra have written on the samadhi are completely annulling by this one statement that he is within, there is no need to go and bow down. What you are doing? So even this barrier between you and God, they will put like this. We want to go to the samadhi, but you can't. So they act like that, much beyond what is needed. So this is how they will work, and they will justify under various names. So they work in the ashram also. It's not that ashramites are free from their workings. They are the world problems. So their method is to keep you away from the divine under some pretext. Oh, divine mother, but they have gone now, you know, mother is inside, world mother. So many ways they will do. Why do you keep photograph? You don't need photograph. They are only for remembrance. Shobhindu and the mother's letters are there that they are not photographed, but my presence is there in them. They have directly said, it's not a devotee saying. She has put a presence in the photographs. Now, okay, you may be devotional or sentimental, but when the wisdom is saying so, then or you say that, no, I don't trust the master's word, then, but that they will not. They will put, no, we are following what Mother and Shobhindu have said. Your own brand of understanding of Mother and Shobhindu, that's why. So he's saying it's everywhere. All have had to pass through the ordeal and test through which you are passing. Even great sadhaks. We would have avoided it for you if it had been possible, but since it has come, we look to you to persist and conquer. Patience, quiet endurance, never to give up, it means. Calm resolution to go through to the end and triumph. You know that spirit in the battlefield? You need here that warrior aspect. These are the qualities now required of you. The less spectacular but more substantial of the warrior virtues. Less spectacular, not that how many hours I can meditate, how much, you know, inner aspiration. These are the qualities required. Also, perspicacity and vigilance. Do not shut your eyes to the difficulty in you or turn away from it. But also let it not discourage you. Victory is certain if we persevere. And what price of difficulty and endeavor can be too great for such a conquest? So, he is. Hostile forces attack every sadhak. Some are conscious, others are not. So they said, no, hostile forces don't attack me. That fellow you see there, I am a great devotee. They don't say it, you know, because then you will be exposed. They'll say, you know, ma, then you, oh yeah, I'm getting. Shobhindra was asked, what about getting commands from above? He says, you know, because hostile forces give suggestion to the brain, so you can feel it as coming from above. Literally, he has given a letter like that. Mother and Shobhindu. They have not read a word from Mother and Shobhindu. They would not read. But they are still getting commands. Are you first have a base of knowledge, open to intuition, true intuition. Otherwise, it's all, you know, in the air. Then, sometimes people say, you know, mother's action, Mahakali, she has, everything has turned upside down, tumbled. Listen to this letter. The method of the divine manifestation is through calm and harmony. Divine doesn't like that. Mother has said, I don't like this Mahakali method. Why should she? She is mother. Why should she want to hold us by the hand, leg and tangle us and throw us away? That she does to asuras. We are her children. She doesn't like to do that. So she says, not through a catastrophic upheaval. The latter is the sign of a struggle, generally of conflicting vital forces, but at any rate a struggle on the inferior plane. And then he reminds us, you think too much of adverse forces. That kind of preoccupation causes much unnecessary struggle. Fix your mind on the positive side. Open to the mother's power. Concentrate on her protection. Call for light. Calm and peace and purity and growth into the divine consciousness and knowledge. Keep the aspiration. They will want to finish it. They would end up saying sadhana is all useless. Be like a normal human being. There are people in whom it has taken away, because when they face the yoga in grim earnest, in the beginning it's very nice. I sat for meditation. I felt very nice, peaceful. Whatever I asked for came. Then the divine starts saying, okay, now stage two. Whatever you ask for, I'll take away. Come. You come with me. Is the heart's fire ready? Lord, where are you carrying me? Are you there? The idea of test also is not a healthy idea and ought not to be pushed too far. Tests are applied not by the divine, but by the forces of the lower planes. He knows us. Mother does not want to test us, see whether you are ready. She knows our weaknesses, everything. She doesn't have to test us. If she has to test us, that means she doesn't know. But they are allowed, because he wants to see, okay, go, like, you know, Arjuna suddenly takes a vow. If till tomorrow I don't kill Jayadrath, I will take Agni Samadhi. So Krishna says, you on your own independently you have taken a decision. You didn't consult me. No, but now I am a Kshatriya, I must. You don't want to break the vow? Sure, I have broken. No, no, but I am a Kshatriya. Okay, fine, I'll manage. So that Shri Krishna knew. And he manages. That's a different story, that, you know, he bends the rules. But otherwise, so the test. Free yourself from all exaggerated self-depreciation and the habit of getting depressed by the sense of sin, difficulty or failure. See how subtle the working can be. First they will make you fall. Okay, get up. Wipe your pants and further walk. After falling, they'll say, oh my God, I am so bad a human being. Now they have their chance. They'll say, good, I will pin you here now. I won't let you walk. If 10,000 times you have fallen, the grace will come million times. Call the grace and walk. Human nature, it's not, the grace knows. It's not an easy journey. So this is what he says, this idea, this is how they will, another way. These feelings do not really help. On the contrary, they are an immense obstacle and hamper the progress. Sin, guilt, difficulty, failure, they belong to the religious, not to the yogic mentality. Religions have created all this so that, you know, you stay within limits. So the yogin should look on all the defects of the nature as movements of the lower prakriti, common to all. They are not only you, it's everywhere. Of course, this is not a justification, everybody has it, so you have to come out, but not like, oh, I am branded by, see, everything bad is only in me. Either ways, you should not, that others have it and I don't have it. It's universal nature, and to learn to stand back and reject them calmly, firmly and persistently with full confidence in the divine power. Without weakness or depression or negligence, and without excitement, impatience or violence. What is excitement? Oh, from tomorrow. You know, there was this one sadhak, a very interesting range of sadhaks. So he used to smoke. So somebody said, what? You are used to smoking? What? I can leave it anytime. Is it? Every night I leave it. Yeah. What is there? I can just leave it. I can leave it. So that's not the way. Excitement. I'm going to, from tomorrow I'll not do this. Sure enough. Because now you have, what you have done, you have declared your intention. It's like broadcasting into the enemy camp. I'm having anti-aircraft guns to fire at you. They'll say, oh, we know it. We'll come through stealth aircraft. Because now you have declared, do this. It's a patient perseverance, several times up, down, rise, fall, part of the process. It's not like one day, then next day you fall, oh God. Then 10 days it happens, then I am not worth it. After that you say, this is what is me. This is the way they pin us down to unholy soil. Then of course depression and all these things, he cautions us. There are men and women who are the vehicles of these adverse forces. And if you come in contact with them when you are off guard and have a movement, in this case, the one where she is referring, a sexual movement, which gives them an opportunity for a grip, sometimes shake hands, embrace, a way of life outside. But the force can enter. So he speaks about that. Which gives them an opportunity for a grip. And mind you, it's not about women. I have seen men. Ah, I feel so much love for you. Okay. Your love is in the heart. You can't be embracing everybody with love. So, you know, it's not about somebody has a bad intention or good intention. But it's science. You are creating a contact. That means all that is inside you will go there, and all that is inside you have petrol pump. What is required to have the petrol? Open the tank and plug the point. After that, the balance meter starts. Of course, you have to be careful. But outside life, that's a way of life, no? It's become a new norm. So Shivinda says, touch, dress, all these. I mean, whether we like it or not. They say, hava bhava, he has used the word. Everybody is the same. Men also trying to, you know, styling and, you know, how I look. In normal life, that's a way of life. Mind you, I'm not saying don't do it. But understand that normal life and yoga, there is some difference at least, no? It's not the same. You do in normal life, that's a way of life. But in this, that otherwise there is no difference. So, but still, when sometimes this, be conscious inside. Be conscious of the divine presence. Be very careful that, you know, you are engaging in, it's close physical touch can transmit many things. So, one must be careful and conscious. Sometimes there are people who will just come and hold you. So, what you'll do? You can't tell them hostile force and, you know. So, just inwardly say, ma, ma, ma. But Sri Ramakrishna was more particular. No, it's a real thing. See, great yogis knew it. With Sri Ramakrishna, he said, stay away from Kamini and Kanchan. Now, Kamini is not a woman. Kamini is also Kamna, man. Okay, so... So, he was so conscious. It is said you keep penny below the mattress. One night, somebody actually tried. He tossed and turned. He couldn't sleep. Because it was not about the penny, but the consciousness of that wealth and greed. Then second instance, which if you read, you will feel too much of a Puritan. But well, yoga is about, you know, it's like a science. If somebody touches, you know, we have an X-ray unit. If somebody, can you be allowed to go and stand there without using that cover? If you try to do it, people will say, get out. You may find it very odd, but well, that's how it is. So with Sri Ramakrishna, a lady came. He was always, you know, Kamini and Kanchan, because it was a different kind of yoga. It was not a yoga of transformation, but still the care that you have to exercise. So she came and suddenly touched his feet. You know what he did? He just stepped back and took Ganges water and poured over it, saying, ma, 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 ma. Because he could feel through that touch forces which entered. Now these are realities of, you know, and in normal, ordinary life, we do many things. So to that extent, it used to go. Now, of course, supramental manifestation taken place, Pavitrada, when somebody brought him a basket of, you know, some apples or something, fruits, tomatoes. So Pavitrada said, I'll have to ask the mother whether I can take it or not. So he was, sorry, why you have to ask for this? He went and asked the mother. And the mother said, tell him one last time. Because what you receive from here, there, anybody and everybody, you have to be careful. Unless you live in that consciousness that this is not the human being and I am not obliged to this person. It's coming from the divine. And when you give to somebody, this is the secret he has revealed in synthesis. It's not to that person. He is not obliged to me. I am giving it to the divine presence side. But, and this is an inner state. Not that you go and say, you know, Atman, not to you, Bandhu. This is for the divine in you. Then he will say, I don't need this dress, please, thank you. Nor you have to declare, say, you are giving me, don't feel that I am obliged to you. Huh? I am taking it from the divine, nothing. But inwardly you should just know that it is from the divine and being offered to the divine. And it's true of all human transactions, even the transactions of intimate love. It is coming from divine going. But don't fool yourself that everything is coming from divine. And so this is where sincerity is needed. So which gives them a possibility for a grip. Then some adverse force can leap upon you and hold, and the attack takes either the form of mental unsettling, a moral disturbance, a vital upheaval or nervous breakdown, or as in this case, a physical illness, contagion of a different kind. So they can come like this. And actually they are letters. Nowadays people say, what difference does it make? You know, what dress, modernity. Modernity has given us many good things. Let me say, liberal, modern education is very good. But they have missed the occult side of things. The occult side is, the fact is that dress has an impact upon us. It should be a reflection of who you are. Oh, I'll wear any dress. So then why you wear dress only? So, and you know, I mean, dress, like everything, is an expression. Your gestures are an expression of who you are. Life, see, ancient India, this is how it was. Dress beautifully. But there's a difference between dressing beautifully and dressing to show or to attract attention. They are two different. And men do it as much as women. It's not about women or this thing. So this is where one has to be conscious about these things. It's one master sign. Now this is in the ashram context, but to all who are undertaking the sadhana. It's one master sign is always this impulse to get away from the ashram. What is there in the ashram? Or, you know, I am everywhere. So away from the ashram. Many things. Away from myself and the mother. I've given some examples of that already. Out of this atmosphere. And at once, not only after some time, go away, what is there? Mother is everywhere. I have seen people who have wept after doing it. And you'll feel, ki kya ho raha hai, kuch toh nahi raha hai, I see people, this, that. It's a, action has started. So be very careful. For the force does not want to give time for reflection. So go away, immediately. For resistance, for the saving power to be felt and act, its other signs are doubt, tamasic depression, and exaggerated sense of impurity and unfitness. The idea that the mother is remote, does not care for me. Are, if she doesn't care, who is caring? Really speaking, I mean, the only one who cares through everything. Is not giving what she ought to give. Is not divine. With other similar suggestions, accompanied by an inability to feel a presence or a help. So many people, they say that they have believe in Shurbindo. But you say, mother, no, they don't have. Tell them, but Shurbindo says she's divine mother. I know, but it doesn't. See, the force is there. Because through her, the power will come to annihilate. They turn to Shurbindo, but they don't accept mother. So many people. So this is the working of these forces. And Shurbindo's letters that you won't receive from me. If you turn only to me, you will receive one fourth. But if you turn to the mother, you will receive everything. A feeling that the yoga is not possible or is not going to be done in this life. The desire to go away and do something in the ordinary world. There are people who have actually gone away, taken positions, plum posts in government and all this, thinking, oh, this is mother's work I'll do. No, it's okay. If you are there, do it. But after having given the chance to take to yoga is a letdown. If you are not taken up yoga, wherever you are, you're driven by ambition, do it. But if you are given the chance to do yoga, there can be nothing greater than that. Then to go away. The thing itself suggested varying according to the personal mind. Pushing to the same action. Departure, renunciation of the soul's truth, refusal of the divine's love and the divine call. Cast away from you these movements of doubt, depression and the rest, which are no part of your true and higher nature. Reject these suggestions of inability, unfitness, and all these irrational movements of a latent force. Remain faithful to the light of your soul, even when it is hidden by clouds. My help and the mother's will be there working behind, even in the moments when you cannot feel it. What a, you know, gracious. Never does he say, oh, you're a papi. No, it will be there. Just have that faith. The one need for you and for all is to be Even in the darkness of the powers of obscurity of the physical consciousness, stubbornly faithful to your soul and to the remembrance of the divine call, be faithful and you will conquer. Stubbornly, be more stubborn than the difficulty. And then he says, you know, all that tamasic ego. What we have to remember is, whatever I may be, the true spiritual or psychic vision is this. Whatever I may be, people may say things, you may yourself feel. Whatever I may be, my soul is a child of the divine and must reach the divine sooner or later. I am imperfect, but seek after the perfection of the divine in me. And that not I, but the divine grace will bring about. If I keep to that, the divine grace itself will do all. The mother's help is always there. At one place, one small letter. Remember that the mother loves you. Base your life on this one truth and everything will be all right. How simple yoga can be. People say Shobindu's yoga is very difficult. I have not known, I have read almost practically all the yogas of, you know, ancient yogas, not modern, all kinds of neo yogas are coming up. All of them, trust me, all books of philosophy, I have not seen a yoga more easy than Sri Aurobindo's. But the most difficult in terms of its result. So easy, turn to the mother and look at it, his letters. Otherwise, if you say, people say, Arey Alokda, aap to exaggerate kar rahe ho, usual, sentimental, emotional. So, Shivindu's letter. The mother's help is always there, but you are not conscious of it except when the psychic is active and the consciousness not clouded. The coming of suggestions is not a proof that the help is not there. Suggestion of this kind. And look what he's saying. Suggestions come to all, even to the greatest sadhaks or to the avatars. As they came to Christ or Buddha, you know, Saint Augustine praying, Lord, grant me chastity, but not yet. Famous prayer. They come to people, you know, all kinds of things, they come and, you know, it's not easy. Christ, he speaks about, you know, the temptations of Christ. Buddha, am I on the track, right track or not? I'm finding nothing in spite of trying everything, but he had to find nothing, the nothingness of Nirvana. And then the divine ultimately grace comes in the form of that little girl, Vandevi Sujata, who teaches him the way. After all the teachers, it is this little girl who tells him, you know what, you are being too much rigid or you are becoming too lax. Find the middle way. And that changes him. So we have obstacles have to be looked at as something wrong in the machinery of human nature, which has to be changed. They should not be regarded as sins or wrongdoings, which make one despair of oneself and of the sadhana. And Christ, how they came. The devil comes and says, you know, you are son of God, God is with you. Jump down from this cliff, what will happen? God will save you. He said, one must not tempt the Lord, my God. Don't listen to these suggestions. Oh, you have so much faith in mother. Okay, you go. Take a handful of corona. Now this is not what is it's meant. Stay safe. Fine. Trust in her. You don't have to do that. Challenge them. That like Abel mujhe mar. So that is ego. Don't be afraid. But equally don't be egoistic. I'll go anywhere and you know whatever I do. So. I am not aware that anyone who has made a true surrender to his guru loses his balance. Those who allow ego to come in naturally may, whether they follow a guru, as most yogis have done, or try to go on their own individual strength. You ask whether the adverse force is stronger than the divine force. The implication is that a man has no responsibility for his action. How beautifully. And whatever he does or however he errs and falls in consequence, the divine force is to blame. Look what follows next. It may be so. It may be so. But in that case, there is no need or utility in doing sadhana. Divine force ultimately will pull because it's his world. But But that's not what is sadhana. One must know the difference. One has only to sit still and let the adverse force or the divine force do what they like. According to that theory, the devil was quite right in telling Christ, cast thyself down from this mountain and let his angels come and appear thee. And Christ was quite wrong in rejecting the suggestion and saying, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord my God. This is the story. So then anything you will do, anything, everything God, yes. He says that eventually he may, but that's not the attitude we should take. He ought to have jumped up, and if he got smashed, it would only have proved that the adverse forces were greater than the divine force. How logical is Shrinath explain? If an adverse force comes, one is not to accept and welcome its suggestions, but to turn to the mother and refuse to turn away from her. Cling to the mother and think that she is holding you. Whether one can open or not, one has to be loyal and faithful. Loyalty and fidelity are not qualities for which one has to do yoga. They are very simple things which any man or woman who aspires to the truth ought to be able to accomplish. It is what everybody should realize. It is the psychic fidelity that brings the power to stand against the asuras and enables the protection to work. Psychic fidelity. And one is tested. Closing with that story of Vibhishna, where on one side is his brother and the other side this unknown man who has come all the way from God knows where, but he knows him to be the incarnation of Lord Vishnu, his master. And Ravana uses one of the most fatal blows to finish Vibhishna. But for Vibhishna, he has come for the Lord. And it's a very touching episode where Rama suddenly sees, and you can't counter it. He just pushes Vibhishna behind him and takes it frontal on his own heart. It's actually there. Same in Mahabharata when the takshak, the tastri is used by Karna. And Arjuna has no cart for it. And Shri Krishna just presses with his thumb and the whole chariot goes down and the arrow misses the mark. You can only use it once. So the Lord takes care, he protects. But we have to make sure that we don't brazenly go out of the protection by, you know, all kinds of misdeeds. And if things happen, inevitably they happen to everybody. Just to remember the mother, to call her, to know that she is there, even if I don't feel, to have the faith and the will. However stumblingly, however blunderingly, as Amal Kiran has put it, if one keeps the faith and the will intact, one is sure to arrive. Because ultimately, the grace is omnipotent. Namaste.